Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What a the leaves up, on the trees. Welcome aboard to the Mother Show. Todd Rebel Horowitz with you. And it is Tuesday. It is August the 16th. It is quiet and torturing markets, and there is nothing we can do to change that. You know, we've got just an enormous amount of stuff going on, but the biggest stuff is the idiot economists that are behind all this. You know we've talked about it on many occasions, and you know, nothing changes, because when you have the ability to give away free money, and you have the ability to continue the entitlement system, and you have the ability to have a printing press at your disposal, it's hard to believe that the markets could actually go down. Now, you know, again, we talked about this yesterday. They are going to go down at some point. But this, the most hated rally of all time, might have become, at the same time, the most loved stock market ever. Okay, now, you know, there's been a lot more bullish buying, but as you know, I believe that's been more of the greed variety. I believe that's been more of the people chasing it up and looking to margin up money that they don't have to buy stocks they can't afford. But as we continue to watch, the VIX, the volatility index, continues to plummet. Interestingly enough, you know, typically before an election, volatility is not quite this low. So I think that's something to take note. I think that when you look at the picture, okay, and you look around at everything that's going on, I think that should be sending a lot of warning signs out. But, you know, one of the things that becomes very important, especially if you're trading or you're investing, is not to try to outjump or outsmart or be faster than the market, but more so be ready to react to the market. You know, we're not going to be able to pinpoint, you know, information. Even the guys that have the information aren't able to pinpoint it, okay? You know, and there's been, you know, many cases. I mean, look what's going on with Bill Ackman. You know, I guess he's a smart guy. I don't know him personally, but I would assume he's somewhat smart. I mean, he managed to accumulate $1 billion of other people's money, so I have to give him some kind of credit. But look what he's done with all of his information and all of his power. Okay, he got himself trapped in Herbalife and got buried by Carl Icahn and Loeb. Okay, and now, I mean, just a total mess. And then on the opposite side, you get caught in VRX Pharmaceuticals, and there's an outside chance, and again, I don't know much of it, these are just headlines I was looking at, that he could be possibly going to jail. Okay, and again, there's no proof or that. That's just something that I heard. But my point is that there's a guy that just flushed down the toilet in two stocks billions of dollars because he's too smart for the market. Okay. And this is, if that doesn't teach you something about markets, then nothing will ever teach you. If the smartest guys in the world with the most amount of money, okay, get trapped in these markets because they believe that they're smarter than the market, and what does Bubba always say? Ain't nobody smarter than the market. You can stick that up your you-know-what, okay? The market is a breed and a market and a animal all to itself. And if anybody thinks that they're smarter than the market or the market's wrong, they're an idiot. And I will not back down to that, okay? If anybody thinks that they know more or are smarter than the markets, they are an absolute idiot, because nobody is smarter than the market. Nobody can tell you exactly when it's going to happen what, unless they've got so much money that they're going to make a manipulated pull on it, which in some products that can be done. But I don't believe that there's anybody that can do it in the actual stock market for any extended period of time. So, you know, but here you have people of great influence. I mean, you know, you look at Carl Icahn, you know, like him or hate him, I particularly don't care for him. But, hey, you know, his hedge fund's getting drilled. Okay, smart guy, right? Bought Apple, pushed it up, squeezed it. So, you know, if you think anytime you think you can predict the outcome of any event, okay, with enough power and being right up, then you know, you might have to reevaluate your position. Now, we know that if you're betting on sports, you have to hit 52.9% to overcome the edge, and that can be done. There's many people who do that, and I'm not saying you can't do that, but you have to have, what do you have to have, okay? The same thing comes down to everything. It comes down to you have to be disciplined enough to let the markets trade. You have to be disciplined enough to be willing to react to the market when things happen. You have to be disciplined enough to not let things get in your way, because if you do, what you'll find is you'll find yourself getting clobbered, okay? So, yes, we can put, and there's ways to put those in your favor, but the first thing you have to have is a read or a footprint telling you what the market's going to do, okay? You cannot make it using the Martingale system, which is the continuing to press up and press up until you finally get your money back, okay? So, it's an interesting item to watch, but markets are very tradable and very teachable. As bad as they are right now, they're still teachable. You can learn to be a better trader. You can learn to be a better investor. That goes without saying. But you cannot do it if you're going to continue to think that you are smarter than the market. Okay? The people that believe the egos, when ego gets involved, most of those people end up going broke. But of course, when ego's involved, most of those people aren't even investing their own money. So they don't necessarily go broke. They go broke with other people's money. And that's always one of the things that bothers me when I'm listening to some so-called expert tell me what's next. What's next? If he knew what's next, why would he tell me? You know, again, it comes back down to a read and a positioning to understand how to use the dynamics of money management along with chart reading, the footprints, and be willing to live with those moves that happen, because you will not always be right. But if you're always right mathematically, and if you're always right on the idea and with the discipline, then it doesn't matter. This is where we separate the profits from the losers, and that is the ability to say, okay, I want to get in, and if I'm wrong, this is what I'm willing to lose. Okay, and then you find out that, oh, that works out much better that way, because if you have an exit in mind as you're getting in, then you're going to find yourself not losing a lot, not getting mentally drained by the market when you do have a bad day, because you're using protection. We got Trojans. we're protected traders, right? Now, but in all seriousness, I mean, this is what it's about. It's about the salvation of making sure that you stay in the game. And one of the things we're going to help you to do stay in the game is we're going to start coming out with our morning briefings. There'll be a little video that'll be posted right before the opening. Going to start doing a farm show on the weekends. And in the meantime, when you miss an episode of any of my stuff, you have to go to libertytalk.fm, the Bubba Show, the Sporting Edge, and everything else that we're going to start doing. Make sure that you download it. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out of here for a break, and I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz said, you know, I don't know. I get angry with just about everything. Maybe I'm just an angry guy. But you know, certain in all seriousness, you know, I listen and I see what's going on, and I watch markets, and you know, I've said this many, many times before, and for those of you who've been with me for the duration, know that when we had the debt ceiling debates, we knew they were going to solve them. You know, now everybody's worried about oil, and you know, the first thing is oil and the stock market are not correlated. I don't care what anybody says. It's a bunch of bullshit. They do not correlate to one another. Yes, for a moment, anything can correlate together, okay? But from a longer-term perspective, that's a bunch of garbage, okay? Because in factual matter, rising oil prices should lead to a weakening stock market. They should go in opposite directions, but even if they go in the same direction, they are not correlated to one another. It indicates nothing, okay? It's a commodity, it trades, and it will trade just like anything else. But again, if you think that they're correlated, then I ask you, why is oil down? And if you want to just go back to the last month, why is oil down 20% and the stock market up 15%? If you want to go back to when oil was 160 and now it's 40 and the market is all-time highs, you tell me. Okay, so that takes care of that argument. But now you've got the geniuses. Oh, the rig counts are going up, so that means oil's got to go lower. Well, amazingly, oil's been going higher because it found a good level of support. So it's only natural that it would start to go higher. And no surprise here, we were buyers of oil at 40. But we all know, now let's look at this from a logic standpoint. We all know that the rig counts are going up because they're delayed, and you know, we don't get them right away. But we know that the rig counts will probably start to go down again because we see that we have an oversupply of oil. So what do we know? We know that most likely, okay, that we will have them starting to shut down oil and not making as much, which makes sense, which means it could create a potential shortage, which means that, you know, we could see higher prices. And I think that's probably kind of what you're seeing now already, is you even know they keep reporting to you that, oh my God, the rig counts. And I go, screw the rig counts. The chart told us that we're going to find a spot to buy, and the chart will tell us when there's going to be a time to sell. Okay. And that should be right here at 44, could be a short-term sale, maybe 46, but probably the best spot to look for would be 50. Okay. But let's not worry about the rig counts. What do you think? When you get the information, do you think it's actually meaningful? How many people do you think have had that information before you got it? Okay? That's the way you look at it. Okay? What you have to assume is by the time you got the information, you're about the 1 millionth person who's gotten it. Okay? We don't get anything ahead of anybody else. Again, these guys pay millions and millions of dollars to get information first. So if you think that you're ever going to get that information first, think again. Unless you know somebody, and even then, you're probably not getting it first. Okay? So, you know, retail sales, flat. Okay? Now, what does that mean? Well, I think what was interesting is, you know, the retail stocks have been so depressed that they started to pop. And what I want you to remember, and I want you to think about, okay, is we saw them depressed, and they looked like they should be pretty good buys, okay, because again, unless you think they're going out of business, which I happen to think so in JCPenney, but I was on Angie Miles last week, and I said, she, you know, asked what I like best. I said, well, I think Macy's is probably the best of the bunch, and Kohl's. Now, Kohl's didn't perform as well as some of the others. But my point is that it was evident that they were coming to a point where they had to do something. And, you know, you're going to see that these markets will perk up a little bit because, again, they've already priced in all the bad stuff. Okay? This is the important thing to understand. Markets are very efficient at pricing in some information. So I wouldn't get ever too excited about the news you just heard, because the news you just heard, we already know and we already priced into the market. And I think what you're going to see now coming up this week, you've got some retail earnings Okay. And it'll be interesting because some of them already popped based on the earnings from last week. And the question is will those, have they overreached to the other side? Because we have a very common theme that we see often, and that is markets tend to overshoot their direction. Okay. And that, I think, is a better judge and a better gauge for you, is knowing that markets tend to overshoot and being prepared to take the potential other side. I mean, I would be looking, for example, this week to look at some of the stocks, a stock NetApp, which is a tech stock, been going straight up. To me, at some point, even if it's going to go higher, it will have to have some sort of a pullback, which is why earlier I talked about, you know, why be a buyer in the grain space. And speaking of the grain space and news, you know, I do a lot of rural TV, and they always ask me about the reports. I says, I don't give a crap about the report. What is the report going to tell me? The reports are meaningless unless you are prepared to act specifically on that report and take a position. And if you have a position, you're probably not selling. So what difference does it make? And I really find that to be sad when we become so dependent on what the report might be. But unless you're getting out, the reports are meaningless. In fact, it's funny because on Friday they had the supply demand report and I was working some orders to buy. And unfortunately, I missed by a half a penny on one and a penny on the other. And that's too bad for me. But my point is that I didn't even know. I had to text somebody to find out what the information was. I didn't even feel like looking it up. Because it really doesn't matter. Everything always plays out in the footprint of the market. This is what you, the average investor, have to understand. This is your first part of our learning markets, is that the footprints are well ahead of everybody else. If you think that we're going to miss something, you're wrong. Okay? What you miss is you let your mind get in the way, which then creates you to miss something. But if you just calmly sit back, relax, and watch, you will find yourself finding some very good opportunities in markets that will give you a chance to read the market correctly, to get on the right side of the market. Now, again, you will not always be on the right side, and nobody would profess to say that you would. Anybody who says that they're always on the right side is a liar, okay? Because it's virtually impossible, and again, I will defer. I will challenge anybody to tell me that they're always right, okay? Because you know they're lying, because that's just the way life goes. But do we really need to, you know, take into consideration what everybody already knows? That's the bigger point, okay? So to try to jump in and use news items, okay, it doesn't work. I mean, because you're not going to benefit because of the assumption that markets have already made. Okay, markets themselves, they are the most efficient way of discovering price. It's unfortunate that we've got so much manipulation by our Federal Reserve, because that's just stupid. But it's really unfortunate because markets are the best at telling you what the fair value is. It's just like that if it was up to the markets, interest rates would be higher right now. Okay, if it was up to the markets. Nobody really loves this low interest rate environment other than the big money investors, okay, and the funds that are investing into it. But as a general rule, I assure you interest rates would be much higher, because having low interest rates and not having accessibility to cash, and having higher interest rates and having the accessibility to borrow money and float it, well, which is better? Well, I believe that probably having the money and having a chance to make more money versus not is probably more important. And this is something that we always talk about and we're always worried about, is the way that the markets work and why the Fed manipulation is throwing a little bit of a monkey wrench into true price discovery and the way that markets are actually supposed to work. And that is something that I think that you really need to take a look at. And that's part of your first learning curve, is to understand that is how markets work. Anyway, this is the Bubba Show. I am Bubba. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop out here for a break, but remember, when you miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download The Bubba Show as well as The Sporting Edge. We're going to step out of here for a break, and we'll be right back. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be back in a couple of minutes.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
You know, I told you, sell everything. Oh, God. I tell you, if it wasn't for the geniuses telling us what to do, how would we ever survive on this planet? It is amazing how much they continue to try to manipulate and work us over and do things that I would say are very, very rarely ever really accurate and very rarely are ever really correct. I think to me that becomes a bigger story. But I think, you know, one thing you have to look at is you really have to look in the mirror. Okay. I think you have to look yourself in the mirror and ask, how can you be better? How can you make yourself better? What's going to make you become the better trader and be able to, you know, step up? And do things that are better for yourself. I think that is, you know, more the story here that, you know, we have to, you know, look at and decide, you know, how can I be better at what I do? And I think, you know, one of the main cogs that you look at is you look in the mirror and ask yourself, what kind of trader are you? Are you a someone who follows the trend of everybody else? Do you follow the herd, or are you someone who can take up and do what you're supposed to do? Okay. And follow the market footprint that is left for you. Okay. And, you know, it's always easy to say, well, they were wrong, but they don't have to be wrong, because it really should be you looking at your the way that you trade and the things that you do. Okay. Because if you take care of business and do things the correct way, then it really doesn't matter what they say or them. You know, it's always they or them. And I always think it's interesting because, you know, we as traders always say, well, they're doing this and they're doing that. And the truth is, it's who's ever doing it, it doesn't really matter. But I think what you have to take from here is the ability to create a better spot for yourself. Okay. That is something that I think is always something that you need to do, is be able to put yourself in the better spot, to put yourself into reality and not worry about what everybody's trying to tell you. You know, there's all these monster calls out there, you know, Dow 3000, Dow 5000. The world is going to end. The economy is going to collapse. You know, you name it, they're out there. Everybody's got, you know, that mode in their minds. And of course, why they have that? Because they're selling you something. Okay. But look in the mirror and say, hey, am I using my due diligence? Am I watching properly and allowing myself to have the real shot at what goes on in this market? Am I putting myself in a position to really grab the most success here? And I'll give you a perfect example. You know, we had the USDA report on Friday, and of course, you know, everybody's shaking and, oh my God, it's bearish and the world's going to come to an end. And of course, the world didn't end, and of course, they rallied. Okay. And no real surprise that they rallied. I mean, I think that this is where you learn to read the market expectation. This is where you learn to find the better stuff. This is where you learn to say, hey, you know what? That does make more sense to me. And that becomes more of what we're looking for, okay, is the ability to do things better and to find ourselves in a better position, okay? And what I mean by a better position is, you know, not chasing the market up or down, not looking for the miracle. And no matter what market you're trading, it doesn't matter if it's oil, it doesn't matter if it's stocks, it doesn't matter if it's grains. It's the same theory and the same story is behind everything, okay? And markets work the same way. You know, again, all you have to do is look at the charts and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. But to listen and get involved with all these assholes that continue to try to sell product and continue to try to scare you into the big world of, you know, like if you remember 5 or 6 years ago, well, maybe it was 10 years, who the hell knows? It was a long time ago. Okay, right around the crash, but you know, the dollar, the US dollar was no longer going to be the reserve currency. My God, what's going to happen? We're going to fail. And of course, I continue to tell everybody, rest assured, we will be the reserve currency because the economy that we have is too big. Good or bad, it's still too big. Okay, so nobody is going to be able to take over the stability that the United States has, which is why you continue to see that although other markets around the globe are collapsing, okay, well, the markets aren't actually collapsing, but other economies are collapsing, but you see continued strength in the United States. Why? Because we are the home. We are the reserve currency. We are going to continue to be so, to do so. And, you know, this is something that is learned, and all these things need to go into your trading. You know, many of us have the bad habit of becoming emotional about positions that we have, you know, and that will hurt more people being emotional, trying to, you know, be smarter or faster or better than the market will hurt more people because we have to understand very simply, okay? The simple part of what we do is that the markets are always the same. Chart patterns always repeat themselves. And when we get too extended to the upside, we should look to be taking profit, selling, getting short. And when we get too extended to the downside, we should be looking for an opportunity to buy. Okay. In other words, okay, most people like to buy and chase them up and sell and chase them down. You actually should be looking at the reverse. Okay, now, the one quirk or the one fly in that ointment is on stocks, okay, you have to make sure that you check the company and you make sure that the fundamentals are still solid in those companies because, you know, companies do and can go out of business, okay? So when you're doing stocks, you just want to make sure that nothing has changed fundamentally that's driving the stock down. That would indicate to you that the company could potentially go broke, okay? Whereas in the commodity space, okay, there's no company to report to, okay? So that becomes a little bit of a different story, okay, when you're looking there, because then you can use, okay, the theory that, well, are we going to stop eating? Are we going to stop using our cars? Which brings us to what's going on in the solar sector right now. You know, solar has been getting absolutely blistered, okay? And you take a look at a stock like Canadian Solar, okay, now down trading around a $12 level. You know, again, if you're looking for a high probability play of minimal risk, now again, minimal risk is a subject, but I mean, you're obviously a $12 stock can go to zero, and certainly the company doesn't make any money, so you are, fundamentally, they're not the most desired or strongest. However, you know, again, if you believe in the solar space and you believe in the potential, then I think that, you know, you could certainly take a stab in that space. You know, you could look at First Solar, you could look at Solar City, you can look at, you know, Canadian Solar and a bunch of the others. I mean, I would think that that's a space that, you know, has been very volatile over the years. It goes up, goes down, whips around, and now it's on its way down. Now, again, to me, as I look at it, we're getting into levels that are probably reasonable spots that you may want to look at getting in, because these are spots that, again, I believe that they'll find some sort of equilibrium, some balance down here. And if you do that, that would be the kind of stuff I'm looking for right now, is, you know, depressed merchandise in what I think could still be a reasonable industry. And that is what we always try to find, is the ability to find value, okay? So we don't want to chase the markets around. We want to try to find value. And I think that's what you're looking for. You know, a couple of months ago, when we started just nibbling in the oil space, okay? Because we knew that, you know, they were full of crap and they weren't going down forever. And there was going to be some sort of upward movement. And of course, we saw that. So now, you know, we've got the thing happening in solar, and I think that you're probably going to see a little bit of a bounce in solar, okay? And it'd be something that I'd be looking for. You know, it's the same as I've said in the grain space all along, is that, you know, you gotta watch for good levels. That's all what it comes down to. Find the right level, follow the footprint, and you'll always be much happier. This is, guess who? The Bobby Show, and of course, when you miss an episode, all you have to do is go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show, as well as The Sporting Edge. And coming soon to a theater near you, we will have the morning commentary, which will be a video which you'll be able to get. And also on the weekends, we're going to start doing a little bit of a farm show. So we're going to step out here for a break and let you think about that for a bit. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I will be right back after the break. Good luck.
After 10,000 beers and 28 years, yeah. Finally figured it
wasn't
out.
Wasn't it just the time to oil was going back down to 30 or lower? Didn't they just say that? I wonder how come it's back at 46. I don't understand. I don't know. You know, I watch all this stuff over and over again, of course, as you know. And we talk about it a lot here, but, you know, it's just interesting to be a market watcher. And, you know, we know that the world is in trouble. And, of course, oh, wait a second, all the markets are going higher. But, you know, are we in trouble? Is this election going to cause trouble? Do we have, I mean, again, you know, one of the problems with candidates that we have, okay, now, you can choose the lesser of two evils, you know, and of course, I do like Mr. Trump. I like his message. I like the potential opportunity that that there can actually be some aspect of some real change. And I'm talking about real change to the political system. Okay. In my opinion, the system is broken. Okay. And the people that run it are broken. And I think that is a bigger problem. I believe that when you say, well, he's not political. Well, of course he's not political. Who the hell would want? Who wants another politician in the White House. Okay. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of politicians. I know that all politicians have done is basically steal from me and you and everybody else. Okay. So I don't want any more politicians in the White House. I want somebody who's going to try and affect change. Okay. Now, I don't agree with everything that he says, but I do like that he is not an establishment character. Okay. I do like that he is not beholden to anybody. That, to me, is more important at this stage. Okay. I'm tired of watching what goes on and seeing us average guys get screwed by the establishment. You know, this is where I think the problems come in. And again, nobody is going to be able to change this, you know, immediately. Okay. He can't come in and fire people. He can't come in and throw people out. But if we can get the ball rolling and actually go back to what the real message is supposed to be and what the real government is supposed to do, I think we could get a start. And that's something that I always want, was a start. Okay. You know, I think it'd be interesting if Gary Johnson could get 15% of the vote and we could see a three-way debate. I think that would be better. Okay. You know, I think that would be something that, you know, we could look for, you know, is to hear other people's views and, you know, hear from the third party. Okay. Because the party system is not really now what it's meant to be. I mean, we've got issues that are meaningless. Okay. We've got issues that don't mean anything to what we really care about, which is our economy. I think we've got too much, you know, political stuff that doesn't have anything to do with the actual running of the country. I believe that the views that people have, okay, and I don't think those should be done through a political forum. Those are personal views and a personal opinion, and I don't know that I want my candidates to be worried about those types of things. So I have, you know, again, I'm a guy that, you know, wants and cheers on the underdog. I'm a guy that wants, you know, enough of the big government, enough of the high taxes, enough of the screwing around with my money, your money, everybody's money, enough of the being able to print so much more money. You know, all these things I think need to be toned down and changed a little bit. To me, I think that becomes the problem in what we have. That's the establishment way of doing things. You know, when will it be that we could actually balance a budget? Okay, now, and why can't we balance the budget? More importantly, there's got to be an issue as to why, you know, you and I, or you and me, have to live within a budget. Why does the government not have to live within a budget? Why is there an exception? Why shouldn't they have to have an emergency fund and not the printing of the Federal Reserve like you and I do? Okay, why shouldn't they, you know, have to be under the same, live under the same types of rules that we have to? I find that rather distressing myself, that is not what we have. So, you know, I'm all for change. Again, you know, again, one of the problems, I think, if you're looking to get, you know, a big time business guy or whatever in the presidency, I mean, who would want to be it? Right. I mean, unless they're going to pay $10 million a year and it's going to be a, you know, 1, 4, 5 year term. OK, which is obviously, we've talked about this many times in the show. But for what we have, do you want somebody who's a known slippery person? OK, who's done many, many things that I'm sure most of us don't agree with? Or do you want somebody who might be able to affect change? And somebody who might be able to make things better overall. And at least, if not, you vote them out in 4 years. I mean, you know, we've just lived through 8 years of nonsense, 8 years of a person not admitting of, you know, anything. Okay. And so I just, again, I'd love to see Gary Johnson get into the debate. I do like the issues. I like the libertarian message, which is, you know, better, I think, overall. I think that was the original. I believe actually that's the original type of message before we got into all these social issues that became more of the political scene. Okay. I believe that everybody should be equal. I believe everybody should have an equal opportunity. And I believe that we should set it up where we can all have an equal opportunity. And I don't think that's what we have right now. I think we have the government, which does not live by the same laws and rules that we have to. I think that they, you know, I think there's too many to make making too much money. I think that we need to have, you know, go back to some of the states to make some of their own decisions, kind of like Texas does on their own. I mean, you know, they basically say to the government, screw you. You don't like what we do, then we'll do it. We don't need you. Okay. And, you know, this is where, you know, again, I think that we have to get to the balanced budget and the entire thing. And again, I always wonder why we don't have to live and why they don't have to live by the same laws and rules that we do. I mean, to me, that's only fair. I mean, I think that only makes, you know, good, reasonable sense. You know, if anybody's got a different opinion, I'd always love to hear it. Okay. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, the government's got nothing to do with our economy, basically. I mean, let me rephrase it. It has nothing to do with the stock market, basically. Okay. It's just a function of how they disperse and take in money. Okay. Unfortunately, when it goes into the government, it goes into like a black hole. And if you put in a dollar, it comes out as like 10 cents. Okay. And that is something that I think needs to be changed. You know, there's so many things that need to be changed over time that are troubling. And that, I think, becomes the bigger problem. Okay. That to me is the overall issue that we're not addressing, is how are we going to move forward? Okay. How are we going to get to the next step? How are we going to clean up the mess and not and quit kicking the can down the road? To me, that's the bigger problem, is when is it, you know, that we just address the problem as it exists, okay, and solve the problem, okay, instead of avoiding the problem, which is what we've become so good at. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. When you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm. Get you the download of The Bubba Show as well as The Sporting Edge. That will do it for this beautiful Tuesday of markets just finding no bounds. We'll see you back here tomorrow. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Everybody have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day. Wake up, Maggie.
Thank God. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.